Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. We appreciate you and we love you. Grateful to you for this Palm Sunday that we can come together in your house and receive your word. We submit ourselves to you and to your will. Speak to every heart and let your word be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted amen. Yeah. Sit on top of your enemy and tell your neighbor sitting by, tell your neighbor, I'm happy to know somebody special like you. You are really, really a nice person. I love you by force. And there's nothing you can do about it. Hallelujah. Fantastic. Well, a few announcements. Can you hear me well? It's very loud up here and then funny down there. All right. Anyway. Okay. So, first of all, it's been announced already. This Friday is the Friday we've been waiting for. Am I right? Beautiful, beautiful gathering. And everybody is expected to bring 5 souls. It's a one-day evangelistic crusade. Are you with me today? So don't think that you are coming for just an ordinary function. It's an evangelistic campaign. So everybody is going to be a soul winner. I'm a soul winner. Be a soul winner. Tell them, be a soul winner. All right, so organize. Some of you are really banking all your hopes on the buses, but you can organize an Uber. Do you understand? You and your neighbors take an Uber and arrive. You know, all the buses and trotters in Accra are finished. They say lighthouse have booked all of them in Accra. I tell you, all those who are on leave, they have gone for it. Those who are on holiday, they're all back. Go to all the stations. They said there's not even one bus available because we have booked all the buses in Accra and Tema. It's a blessing, isn't it? That a church that started with 15 people can, by the grace of God, gather more than 100,000 in the city of Accra alone. It's a blessing of, clap your hands for the Lord. It is a blessing of the Lord. And this year, you're expecting a larger gathering. Amen. So all of you should bring people, everybody is supposed to bring 5 souls. And it's possible. How many of you will do it? Will attempt it? If you attempt it, lift your hand. Father, I pray for all those who will attempt it. Bless them for even offering to help, to do the work. And I pray that you honor them and bless them. Be gracious to them as they help to win souls for the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, expect amazing miracles. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Fantastic stories. Amen. Transformed lives. Hallelujah. God is going to help us and bless us mightily. Amen. Right. What other announcement do I have to give? You're telling me something. Yeah. Good. I'll do that after. So please remind me. All right. Now, Pastor Soso, announcement I'll make it later on. All right. Let's pray again. Father, we ask you to be gracious to us and bless us and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, today is Palm Sunday. Am I right? Palm Sunday, when we're growing up, it's the day that we ate abenkwai at home. So we look forward to it all the time. You need that. As for Palm Sunday, pa, dear, so abenkwai will happen. But, hey, what a shock. You realize that in the Bible, it's called Palm Sunday, triumphant entry. The day that Jesus triumphantly entered into Jerusalem, moved towards the cross. The purpose for which he came was to die on the cross for our sins. Amen. And so he took the journey all the way to Calvary, entered in, entered Jerusalem, sat on the colt and was hailed threw their clothes down, marched on them, and it was fantastic. But this is a very, people call it Holy Week or Passion Week. It's a week of ups and downs. It's a week of highs and lows. It's a week that everything that you can imagine happened. It's a week that we saw people hail Jesus and adore him and welcome him in a very glamorous way. But not long after, we saw the same people crucify him. How people can change within a short space of time. They've hailed him. They shouted that the king has come. Our Savior has come. Now is the day of our salvation. Hosanna to the king, to the one who comes in the name of the Lord. By Wednesday, Thursday, he was standing trial before Pilate. By Friday, he was crucified on the cross. But bless God, after Friday came Sunday. Somebody shout hallelujah. But it's a very amazing week. Every time, one of the things I do is to, during this week, I always read through the Passion narratives. And we see a lot of things. But we see human behavior and various players who acted in the, if you like, the drama of the life of humanity. We see the unfaithfulness of Peter, how he had been, he promised that he's going to stick to Jesus to the end. And then along the way, he denied him 3 times. We also see the weakness of the disciples revealed by the way they all ran away and abandoned their master. Someone who has served them and been with them and led them for 3 years, they all abandoned him. We also see the humanity of Christ. Christ was divine, but he was also human. That they would beat him and he felt the pains of the beatings and the scourging. He felt all of it and bled and all that. We also see the uncertainty of Pilate, whether he should set him free or he should get him crucified. That is why Pilate brought up Barabbas and said, well, it is your by law, somebody should be released. And then they all said, set Barabbas free. Now Pilate as a king knew what was right, and it was important for him to take a decision, but somehow he followed the crowd. He allowed the crowd to lead him. And at the end of the day, he gave Jesus up to them because he was an undecided leader. It's dangerous to have an undecided leader. Amen. But more important, what I'm going to talk about is the double standard or duplicity of Judas, the betrayer, the one who betrayed Christ. He is one of the main players in this whole story. The one who was the treasurer of Jesus' ministry. He was the signatory to the, so I'm sure the sole signatory to the account of Jesus' ministry. And he had been following for a while, but he was the key person who actually went and saw Jesus. Now turn your Bible to Acts chapter 1, please. Acts chapter 1. All right. Have you located Acts chapter 1? Right. Now we see here, this Jesus has died, resurrected, gone to heaven, and disciples were there. You know, before he went, he said in verse number 7 and 8, it is not for you to know the times and seasons which the Father has put in his power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses, witness unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when they had spoken these things, While they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. So Jesus has now left them, and they've gone up. Then Peter got up and said, verse 15, in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs be fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was a guide to them that took Jesus. What a shock. Verse 17. For, can you all read 17 together? Ready, go. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Let's read it again. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Verse 18 says, now this man purchased a field with a reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in the appropriate tongue, Akeldama, which is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of the Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Amen. And verse 21, wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, begin from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, and whose surname was Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed, and then one was chosen. Hallelujah. The question we need to ask ourselves this morning is, why did Judas betray Jesus? Why do you think Judas betrayed Jesus? In this world, there are a lot of betrayers. Are you here or going home? You see, you can betray trusts. People you trust can betray you. When you say somebody is a betrayer, that means that he has actually sold you up. The trust you repose in the person, the confidence, the faith you had in the person, all of it. There are a lot of betrayers in this life. May you never be a Judas. I said, may you never be a Judas. If I lay your hands on your neighbor and cast out every spirit of Judas out of the person. No, pray for him. Be serious. Pray for her. Yeah. Lord, may she never be a Judas. May he never be a Judas. Look, I have not so far, for a long time, I've not gone for any naming ceremony. Maybe Bishop Pazzi has gone for a naming ceremony like that. But for me, since I became a pastor, I've not been to any naming ceremony where the person is called Judas. I've not been. Bishop Pazzi, maybe you have seen one, not me. I've seen all types of names. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jude is even there. Jesus is there. Yeah. Barnabas is there. Lot is there. Lazarus is even there. Lazarus, Thomas, they're all names. No matter what, where they fell, what they did, or how they slept, they are called. Somebody called Nebuchadnezzar. What a shock. But Judas, I've never heard the name Judas. Never. I wonder why. Cynthia, have you heard one before? So far, the only Judas I know, and Judas has a very good meaning anyway. The name Judas is a very good name. Very, very, very good name. The same as Jude. Jehovah. Jehovah is my Lord. Beautiful meaning. But why would you call your son Judas? Auntie, Why didn't you call your sons Judas? You don't like it. If somebody came to marry you and said, my name is Judas, Judas Mensah, you should be afraid. He came to marry you and his name is what? Judas Ababrese. Judas was Ababrese. It's not going to be easy. It's not that the name is a bad name, but somebody has spoiled the name completely. Cousin, what do you think? The name is totally spoiled. That is why, you see, Judas, why do you call your son Judas Saki? No way. You only give it to your dog. Ah, Kato Shabatas. Hey, the dog can turn around and bite you yourself. Oh. You may never know, I tell you. But not a bad name for a dog. What do you think? Anyway, but it's only because of what Judas did. Now, there are many reasons, perhaps, why Judas betrayed Jesus. So, I'm going to give you just three or four because time is very, very fast-paced. But I can preach. Can I preach for a few minutes? Are you still in church? Hallelujah. The scripture we read, the Bible says that he was numbered with us, Judas. He was numbered with us and had obtained a part of this ministry. In other words, he was an integral part of the ministry. Please see me after church. He was an integral part of the ministry. He was so important that when you are numbering those who mattered in the ministry of Jesus, Judas' name was mentioned. He was so significant. He was relevant. He was important in the scope of events, in all the things that were happening, so much so that his name was mentioned. When you mention those whose names are listed in the Bible, the 5,000 men who followed Jesus, who their names are not mentioned there, only a few names are mentioned in relating with Jesus, and Judas was one of them. It means that he was important. You see, it is not how you start, but how you end. It's very important. You can start well, but you must also finish well. I say you must finish well. Life is not just about how you start it, but how you actually finish it. May you finish your race well. I said, may you finish your race well. There are two Sauls we have in the Bible. One of the Sauls was the first king of Israel. And the second Saul we have was the Saul who became Paul. Each of them says something at the end of their lives. The first Saul of the Old Testament, who became the first king of Israel, was so grateful that he had been chosen to be a king. He was not qualified. He felt he didn't have the pedigree to be a king. But somehow, can you turn down a little bit? It's too loud now. Come who everywhere. Right. Okay. Now, this Saul of the Old Testament didn't feel qualified, but somehow God chose him and was grateful. But at the end, along the way, he went off. He began to walk his way. He began to turn away from God's word. He began to turn away from God's word and began to move anyhow. And then he was rejected by God. In fact, he spent his life chasing after David in the wilderness, and all sorts of things were happening. To the point that just before he died, he got up and he said, I've been a fool. Those were his words. I've acted foolishly. Those were the words of Saul of the Old Testament. But the Saul of the New Testament, he got up and said, after he finished his race and after he had preached and after his conversion, preached, ministered to people, blessed lives and written letters and all that, he got up and said, I have fought the good fight. I've run the race. I've finished my course. Amen. I said amen. Now these are the words of somebody who finished well. May you finish well in Jesus' name. I said, may you finish well in Jesus' name. If you are sitting here today, we are still in the race and you are running along. Don't fall by the wayside. Don't become like Judas, who was numbered with us. That is what Peter got up and said. But this time that Peter was speaking, Judas was dead.
He was no more around. He had gone to hang himself, in a place. And Peter was speaking and said, this man Judas was one of us. One of us. Some of you know people who should have been in church today. They are not here. He was numbered with us. He was an important part of the ministry. And he had obtained parts of this ministry. But the Bible says he became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. He became a guide. Are you with me? Now, it's important. He didn't value his place. Now, let me give you two or three points. And then we go on. Look at Psalm 41 and verse 9. Psalm 41 and verse 9. The Bible says, yea, there's a scripture, a prophetic word concerning Judas. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, has lifted his heel against thee. My own familiar friend, in whom I trusted. Life is built on trust. Somebody shout amen. Your life is built on trust. And he says that my own familiar, somebody who was close to me, somebody who was, it's probably said that we ate together. We did eat of my bread. He did eat of my bread. Some of you, that people who used to have friends, used to eat from the same plate. Today, you can't see eye to eye anymore. You have become arch enemies. You are looking at you. I'm talking to somebody here. Some of you, you have had close friends, and you're no longer close for reasons that you know best. Either he was a Judas or you were a Judas. What a shock. Are you still here? Is he your friend? Very close friend. So could it be? Can the two of you stand? Could it be that every time you come to church, you're sitting together? Could it be the day will come that you not like to see each other's face? Can it happen? Can you imagine it? God forbid. That's what she said. Somebody say, God forbid. Is it possible that you are so close, but a day will come you no like to look at each other's face? A day will come when you delete her number from your phone. Can a day ever come where you will curse each other? And a relationship like this, where people have turned, and it's like there's no way we can, things can never work because Judas just rose up. Be careful of the spirit of Judas. I'm preaching now. I said I'm preaching now. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 7. Now you see, one of the things that you must understand, that no matter who you are, no matter the type of leadership you have, no matter your experience, no matter what you have. Doris, are you there? Now, you see, you must understand that everybody will have a Judas in his life. In every organization, in every church, in every ministry, there will by all means be a Judas. If Jesus had a Judas, then you and your ministry, you also have a Judas. The prayer you must pray is that I will not be the Judas. Can you pray for yourself now? Say, Lord, may I never be the Judas. Between the two of you, may you never be the Judas. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Are you still here? Then with Judas, now look at the scripture. It says here, Matthew 18 and verse number 7. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to them. Woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Amen. Bible says, now the phrase I want you to remember is that it must needs be that offenses will come. What the Bible is making us to see is that whether we like it or not, Pastor Michael, whether we like it or not, people, offenses will come. You offend somebody or somebody will offend you.
Tell neighbor, the man is preaching now. The man is preaching now.
Somebody that you trust will offend you. Somebody that you love will offend you. And you will also offend. Jesus said that it must needs be that offenses will come. So you will be offended. Things will go wrong. Things will not go the right way. But your response to what happens is very, very important. Am I talking to anybody here? How you respond to the offense will either destroy you or will pull you together and you will learn your lesson from it. Say amen. Somebody said that when you fall down, always pick up something. Anytime you make a mistake, learn the lesson from the mistake you make. Somebody say amen. So I'm saying to everybody here that in every life, in every relationship, whether it's marital relationship, family relationship, church relationship, business relationship, office relationship, school relationship, there's going to come offense. Somebody will fall out. As for Judas, there will always be one. Pray the Lord, may I never be the Judas. May I not be the one who will cause the greatest offense. For Jesus to say that it was better that he was not born. That is big, Agatha. That's a big one. That it was better that he was not born. The person who betrayed me. The son of man must be betrayed, but the one who betrayed me, it was better that he was not born. Can you imagine? A mother gives birth and a mother says that I regret giving birth to this child. May you never say that of your child. May that time never come where you regret bringing your child into this world. May that day never come. Somebody say amen. For the Son of Man must die, as Scripture declared long ago. But how terrible it will be for the one who betrays him. It will be far better for that man if he had never been born. What a shock. But God will deliver us. I said, God will deliver us. Amen. Right. So now, quickly, let's look at a few things. Judas, one of the possible reasons that Judas betrayed Jesus is that it is said that after the 12 disciples, Judas was the only one that didn't belong to the same tribe like the 11. That's why they call him Judas Iscariot. Are you there? Yeah. Bible makes us to see that no, Judas came from the place called Kerioth. Judas Iscariot from Kerioth. And all the rest of the team were Galileans. So let's say everybody's an Ewe and Judas was an Asante. It's just an example. Or let me turn the other way. Everybody's an Asante and Judas was an Ewe. That one, do you prefer that one? You like that one? Tribalistic brother. No, the truth of the matter is that, you know, Israel is made of various tribes and places. Now, all the red, Jesus and the red, they all came from Galilee. But Judas came from Kerioth, the south. So Judas was the odd man out. Now, you see, the truth of the matter is that in every society, it is possible that you can be the odd man out. One of the things that you must do is that learn to blend. Learn to blend. Oh, I wish somebody heard what I said. If you go to a place where you are the only person among a lot of people, learn how you can blend so that you will not feel inferior. Because inferiority will cause you to be isolated and will cause you to have a prejudiced mind, and that thing can destroy your own life. I said, learn to do what?
Blend.
Learn to blend.
Blend.
As simple as that. Be yourself. Flow along. Tell yourself that it is not the color of my skin that matters. It's the God that is in me that matters. Tell yourself that, look, I can move along. We are human beings just as I am. I'm preaching. I said I'm preaching. Learn to blend. Because if you don't blend, you become prejudiced. You become tribalistic. You become a racist. And all these type of things will destroy your own life. Society has been destroyed because of our refusal to blend and see ourselves, all of us, as God's creation. That's why such is as it is. Go and see Rwanda. I've been there. I've gone to see the place, the museum where they kept the bodies and the skeletons of those who died. I mean, it's a big country. I mean, big in the sense that they speak only one language, unlike Ghana. We have so many other languages. Everybody speaks the same language in Rwanda. But they were able to make the distinction between the Tutsis and Hutus based on the size of the nose or how slim your face is. I mean, we met somebody who told us that, look, we used to play with our neighbors. This was our home. This was their home. We grew up together as friends. We used to go to their sleep over in their home. They used to come and sleep over. Within a day, everything turned that my neighbors began to attack. He said, my neighbor killed my father and my mother. Somebody whose children we used to live together. This boy was thrown out of the window and managed to crawl away at the age of 11 or so. And as was, you could see the bitterness inside of him. He said, we never knew the distinction between Hutu and Tutsi. We all thought we were one until the seeds were sown by people, generally speaking on the radio. We are this. Let's kill all the cockroaches. Let's kill the imported machetes and share among the people. And neighbors began to slaughter their neighbors. In fact, there was a church where about 3,000 people gathered, ran into the church for safety, because the church is a place of safety and security. When they ran into the place, and the Catholic priest, the priest of the church, who belonged to another tribe, Lord said, all of you are safe here. And he went out and took a bulldozer and bulldozed the whole church down, and all of them died in the church. People who used to come and worship with you. The gentleman told us that after all that happened, he went to church to give a testimony. And as he was testifying, he saw one of the elders who was sitting on the second row. And he saw the elder who killed his sister. Not with a gun, but with a machete, cut her into pieces. Like this. And he said, when he saw the man, he ran out of church. I cannot stay in church. The gentleman told us that from that day, he has never been to church again. Because if such people can be elders in a church, it's not worth serving God. You can feel, you know, we cover things artificially. But everything is not okay. It may look like church, but it's not really okay. You can feel the deep-seated hurts and the pain that has gone on by this type of inability to blend and be one. Ghanaians, you have to be one. Can I have an amen? Am I talking to anybody here? All these ideas, you are Ewe, you are Santi, you are Fanti, you are Gan. It doesn't take us anywhere. Yeah. When you see a certain people group, you have a certain mind about them. It shows how little your mind is. How prejudiced you are. How your mind is so small, like a bird's mind, brain. Your brain is so small. That is why you look at other people of other tribe and look down on them. I'm preaching. Look, if you're Nigerian and you come and live in Ghana, blend with us as one of us. Whether Nigeria, we are all one, washed by the same blood. I like Tony sitting here. Tony even doesn't come. Tony is a Nigerian. But he's one of us. He's driving the bus, doing the center, running around as one of us. That is how to blend and be yourself. Otherwise, you always be, oh, look at that. They don't like us Nigerians. They don't like us Nigerians. It's a mind that can make you separate and can make you a Judas. Yeah. Come and see Tony eating fufu and a bell crying with bats, bats in the soup. But what a shock. Look, time is going. Judas was the old man out. And now, can I tell you, can I say something else? Look, it is a sign of, I don't use a word that you say I was insulted. You came to church, I don't insult you. But you see, when you are with somebody and the person doesn't speak the language you speak, you people are don't speak the same, the language that he doesn't understand. It's an insult. It's an insult that we are all here. I don't speak the language. You are speaking a language I don't understand. Now, what are you saying that you don't want me to hear? It's a sign of immaturity. I'm preaching. I said, I'm preaching. You know I don't speak the language, but when you say, quay, you are speaking. I don't understand what you are saying. What are you saying? Maybe you are saying that you are going to hang me. I don't know what you are saying. So anytime we have some people who don't speak the language you speak, now this is one of the things that our bishop hates terribly, because we have people working with us in our church. We have foreign, we have South Africans, we have like Isaac Sally, we have Ugandans, we have Zambians, we have, where is Michael? Jamaicans are working in the church. Now, if I'm with Michael, and then I'm with you, and then we are saying something, and then we are all chatting, and then I turn to you and I say, "Need to see that Adre," and then he's there. Say, hey. He doesn't know what I'm saying. His head is like palm nuts. I'm insulted. No coconuts. You don't understand. Need to see that Kati. You don't understand. Uh-huh. So you see, as I'm saying, he's a Jamaican, he's a British. He does not understand what I'm saying. Now, if I'm saying, if I speak a language like that, it's an insult. And it's a sign of disregard for who he is. Hello? Are you still in church? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So if I'm with you, and you are with your wife. Sorry, your wife is not even an airway. But you made your wife an airway by force. And you are with your sagasa. And begin to say, yeah, bro. I say, hey, what are they saying? Are they come to crucify me or something? Immediately, I feel like an outsider. So because of me, for my Bible says, if eating meat will make your brother sin, don't eat meat. Eating meat is not wrong. But eating meat will be a stumbling block to your brother. For the sake of your brother, don't eat meat. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I wish somebody's hearing what I'm saying today. Wow. Judas. Let's go to the next point quickly. So Judas was an outsider. And when you're an outsider, first of all, you tell yourself, I will blend. Number two, when you see an outsider, let him feel welcome as one of us. You too, let him feel welcome. Amen? I have so many examples, but I can't give them. Perhaps Judas was not happy with the way he was treated as Jesus, one of Jesus' assistant pastors. He thought that if I follow Jesus, he'd be taking me to restaurants, Chinese restaurants, regal. And what are the names of the other Chinese? Dynasty. And what are the other Chinese? The one that you go often. Pardon? Hilon is pastor. Or is it there? They're there. All these Chinese. But rather, Jesus didn't take them to any restaurant. After he fed 5,000, he told them, collect the leftovers. What a shock. I'm sure Judas was disappointed. And then one day, they are following Jesus, and they ask Jesus, where is your house? Jesus said, the birds of the air, they have nests. The foxes have holes, but me, the Son of Man, I don't have anywhere to stay. Say, hey, we are following this man. Where are we going? What is our security? What is going to happen to us? All these thoughts were occurring to Judas. Were occurring to him that, hey, there's no security in following Christ, but the security in following Christ. Somebody shout amen. Am I talking to anybody here? Judas didn't feel safe. What is going to happen when Jesus goes away? And you know, as they moved on, Jesus got to a point where he told them, I'm going to die. And Judas was wondering, I don't have any social security. Nothing, they don't pay my social security allowance and all that. If Jesus dies right now, I don't have a job. Tell him, let me sell the man and get some money now. Before something bad happens. What a shock. Are you still there? I said, are you still there? Perhaps Judas was not happy the way senior pastor Jesus was being treated. Because one day they were all there. And as they were there, a lady came with alabaster oil and came. And the lady began to weep at Jesus' feet. I'm looking at a lady with a nice hair, which is her rear hair. I won't get one here. Nice long hair, which is your rear hair. Long one. There's none here. Auntie Vero, please stand up. What do you got about this hair? What a shock. Yeah. Okay, Mrs. Sally, come. I know you have added some hair, but come. Ugandan hair. So, I'm Jesus. Can you cry over my feet and then use your hair to wipe my feet? Charlie, it's very nice. But recognize that you're enjoying pie in the house. Okay. My feet are smelly, you know. Don't go and tell anybody, okay? Okay. Hey, what a shock. I was enjoying it, but I tell you. I forgot I was preaching. Anyway, so you see, as Jesus was doing, the lady came and was wiping Jesus' feet and pouring alabaster or box of oil on Jesus' feet. Bible says that then Judas was saying, what a waste. What a waste. He should have sold this bottle of ointment and given the money to the poor. But the Bible says that he said this not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. Are you still there? The Bible says he said this not because he cared. Look at it. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. May God deliver you from thieves. May you never be a thief. Come on, shout amen. And he had the bag, and bear what was put in. He knew what was in the bag. So Judas' mind was that he was going to. You see, sometimes people who are very, very jealous and envious, they up here, we care for the people, we care about their thieves. Watch politicians. Come, we care for the poor. We are those, when they come into power, you discover that. Another way to spread the word, politics is stealing. That's another way. I'm preaching. Have I mentioned any party's name? And have I mentioned any party's name? They will tell you all sorts of stories. I see they care for the poor. We care for the poor. After the election, the next time you see them 4 years when election is coming back, then they will come to, and then unfortunately, they're able to convince us to vote for them again. I don't know what they say to us that we believe. Go to our cities in towns in Ghana. Go to in our nation. Even our road. Even our, we are in Accra. We are in Accra. We are in Accra. Look at the road here. Look at our, as if we are in some remote parts. There are places in Ghana, it takes 2 days to travel from one city, one town to another town. 2 days. Go to our front place. When it comes to election, they're able to get there. After when we come into power, you will see that we really care about you. This, and all these type of things. When they come, you'll never see them again. Never see them again. Never see them again. I'm preaching. Bible says he said this not because he cared for the poor, but he was what? A thief. Yeah. May you never be a thief. I said, may you never be a thief. Hallelujah. When you see my car, don't say, Bishop Saki's car. Why don't you buy a motorbike for Bishop Saki so that we can buy more bicycles for all the pastors? So I have a motorbike and all the rest are bicycles. What a shock. My car is a very nice car. But if they sell my car, they can buy me a motorbike and all of you can get bicycles to do follow-up. Hey, when people talk like that, it's not because they care for the poor, but they are... Are you still there? That was Judas. Thieves, they always have a nice way to put their story. But God will deliver us. I said, God will deliver us. One more point and we close. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. You don't have to ride a bicycle. We'll buy you the chassis, the one that they used to collect bola. Boboya. Abuboya. We buy one for you. You are blended well. Hello. Hello. Yeah. Judas. John chapter 12, verse 6. Bible says that he had the bag that had the money. Maybe Judas has realized that they found him to be a thief. So let me betray him quickly before I'm found out. Hello? Now listen. As we end, you will see this Judas who was so close. Perhaps Judas took his closeness to Jesus for granted. He became too familiar with Jesus to the extent that he knew where Jesus was in the at that time of the day. He told that guy, follow me. I know Bishop Yetiseki very well. I know when he arrives in church. I know Jesus very well. Let's go. I will show you where, because Jesus had gone and prayed with him in the garden several times. Jesus' mistake was to have taken Judas along. Sometimes the mistake a person makes is to bring you close. Are you there? The mistake is to open a certain door for you. Is to trust you with his safe. I have my son who has stayed with me for 25 years, 26 years. He has lived in my house. He's not a son as a biological, but he's like a son to me. He has the key to my bedroom. Even my own biological children don't have the key to the bedroom, but he has it. Kwame, he has the key to my bedroom. If my student needs something, they call me and I say, Kwame, open the bedroom for them. Now, if this boy, this young man is a thief, I'm dead. Because I've trusted him so much with the key to my bedroom. I can ask him to go here, find the money here and bring it. I can ask him to do anything at all. So you see, sometimes you trust people, and when you trust them, they rather take advantage of you. I'm telling you. You have a shop, you leave there, take over, look after the shop for me. You don't know that he's a Judas sitting there. A Judas sitting there. You trusted a Judas. I'm telling you. I'm preaching. I said, I'm preaching. Now, you can't trust anybody again in this life. It's so difficult. That is why in church, even praise and worship, you see people carrying their iPad, carrying their bag. They are coming to dance, so they are holding their bag and they are dancing. Because if they leave their bag, when they go, the bag will not be there in church. Carry the iPad and bag. Why are you carrying your bag and dancing? Because you can't trust the one sitting by you. Ask your neighbor, can I trust you? Can I trust you? So many Judases. Judas had an agenda. He had an agenda. That is why nobody calls his child Judas. Because of the spirit that the name carries. But I pray for you that you don't have the character of Judas. A character of a betrayer. A character of a thief. A character of a jealous person. A character of an envious person. A character of somebody who cannot blend. A character of somebody who is so different from everybody else. So at the end of the day, you will see that the glory that has come upon you is gone. He was numbered with us. He was one of us. But today, he's an outsider. May you never be an outsider. You know something? I'm not out of weight. I'm only out of time. Stand to your feet, everybody. Clap your hands for the Lord. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Lift your two hands and pray. Say, Lord, take away from me the spirit of Judas. And say, Lord, may I not be close to any Judas. Anybody, an evil spirit, spirit of betrayer, spirit of the thief, spirit of the destroyer. Deliver me, oh God. Lift your hands and pray. Pray this morning as we end the service. Talk to God. Speak to God. Speak to God. Speak to God today. Talk to him today. Ask him to take control. Ask him to have his way. In the name of Jesus. Everybody lift your two hands up high and pray. Father, we ask you. We ask you today. Touch every life. Touch every one of us. At this Passion Week. As you remember the death of Christ. I pray that Judas's will be far away from our character. The character of Judas. The character of Judas will be so far away from us that our lives shall please you. We lift our hands to you today. We ask you to have your way in every life and be glorified. We give you thanks. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this afternoon, you want to say, Bishop, I need God in my life. Maybe somebody invited you here to come to church. Somebody said, let's go, and you came. But you are not sure whether you are born again. You don't know whether you go to heaven or hell when you die. Today, this Sunday, you want to say, Bishop, I need God in my life. I know I'm a sinner, but I believe Jesus died for me. Today, I want Jesus to come into my heart. If you're here right now, and you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to be born again, lift up your right hand and I shall pray for you. God bless you. See, lift it higher than your head. I want to see you. I see your hand. So many of you, lift it up high. Today is the day of salvation. Come to Jesus now. Let him take control of your life. Father, thank you for every hand lifted. I pray that today you rule and reign in their hearts. If your hand is lifted, can you walk from where you are and come to me in the frontier? I want to pray for you specially. Come.
Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day.
Lift your two hands and let's pray together. Lift your two hands up high in front here. And let's all say this prayer. The whole church, join us as we pray. Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
This Sunday morning.
This Sunday morning. I give my heart to you.
I give my heart to you.
I receive Jesus.
I receive Jesus
as my Lord.
As my Lord
and my Savior.
And my Savior.
Forgive me.
Forgive me
of all my sins.
Of all my sins.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Please write my name.
Please write my name
in the book of life.
In the book of life.
I want to serve you.
I want to serve you.
I want to follow you.
I want to follow you.
I want to walk with you.
I want to walk with you.
The rest of my life.
The rest of my life.
Today.
Today.
Jesus,
Jesus,
receive me just as I am.
Just as I am.
Save me from all my sins.
From all my sins.
And make me your child.
And make me your child.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For hearing my prayer.
For hearing my prayer.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For coming into my heart.
For coming into my heart.
From this moment.
From this moment.
I am born again.
I am born again.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless all of you. I want you to listen carefully. Today is a very special day for you. Amen. Jesus has come into your heart. He's the Lord of your life from today. Every Sunday, make sure you come to church here. Will you come? Will you come? Every Sunday, where do you live? Broadcasting here. Today was your first day. How come you have taken so long in coming? Will you be coming every Sunday? What's your name? Michael. Nice to see you. We are friends from today, okay? God bless all of you. Now, every Sunday, make sure you are here. Because there are many more things God wants to do in your life. So I want you to go with our pastors here. As they wave, follow them. They're going to talk to you quickly. And then you will come back. Go this way. Clap your hands for them as they go.
Happy day. Oh, happy day. Happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus was,
when Jesus was,
oh, when Jesus was,
when Jesus was,
oh, when Jesus was,
when Jesus was,
He washed my sins away.
Oh, happy day.
Hallelujah.